Okay, let's unpack this. Welcome to the deep dive. This is where you bring us the sources, articles, research notes, whatever you've got, and we dive into them together to pull out the really important insights.
Think of it as us helping you cut through the noise, getting you up to speed quickly on things that matter to you.
Exactly. And today, thanks to the stack you sent over, we're tackling the first State of GitOps report from 2025. This is fresh data, really giving us a current snapshot.
Yeah, and it's not just guesswork. This is based on, what, 660 survey responses?
Yep, 660 practitioners, technical pros, all sorts of industries and locations. Plus, they did expert interviews too, so it's pretty solid stuff.
So our mission today is to boil this down. We need to figure out what this data actually tells us about good GitOps. How are people really doing it? Are the promised benefits, showing up?
And crucially, what practices seem to make the difference? What leads to success?
Basically, we want to give you that shortcut.
Yeah.
By the end of this, you should have a much clearer, data-driven picture of GitOps today and what separates the leaders from the pack.
All right, let's dive in then.
So the report kicks off by defining GitOps. It's not totally new, right? It builds on things we know. DevOps, Infrastructures as Code, IaC.
Right, the core idea is, well, simple but powerful. You define the desired state of your systems, your infrastructure, your apps, and you store that definition in version control. Git, usually.
Instead of manually configuring things or running scripts step by step, you're just declaring the end state you want.
And that means you can use all those familiar developer tools and workflows, commits for changes, pull requests for reviews. You get that full history, easy rollbacks, but for your operations.
It's applying that software development discipline to infrastructure and deployment.
But it's not just the tech, is it? The report stresses the cultural bit, too.
Oh, absolutely. Getting teams agree that all changes have to flow through these version control declarative files. It requires collaboration and a high degree of automation.
Which brings us to the engine room, really, the reconciliation loop.
Yeah, that's the heart of it. An automated agent constantly watching the actual state of your system.
And comparing it to the desired state in Git.
Exactly. And if there's a mismatch, the agent steps in automatically to fix it, to bring reality back in line with the plan.
It's like a self-healing system, constantly fighting drift. And the sources mention the open GitOps principles. They formalize this, don't they?
They do. Version 1.0.0 lays out the blueprint. First, declarative. You describe the end state.
Got it. Two, versioned and immutable, stored safely in Git with history.
Three, pulled automatically. Agents pull the config in, nothing pushes it out.
Which is good for security. And four.
Continuously reconciled. That constant observation and correction loop we just talked about.
Okay, principles laid out. Now, how many people are actually doing this? The report had some big numbers on adoption.
Huge. Adoption is definitely climbing. Something like 93% of the organizations surveyed said they plan to either continue or increase their GitOps usage.
93%. That's a massive vote of confidence. People clearly see value.
For sure. But here's where it gets a bit more complex. The report digs deeper. It's not like everyone's fully converted overnight.
Right, it's not all or nothing.
No. They looked at breadth, like how much of your production stuff is managed this way, and depth, how many of those core practices you've actually put in place.
And the breadth part showed, what was it? A lot are still early.
Yeah, almost a third are using GitOps for less than 20% of their production systems. So lots of plans. But many are still in pilot phase or just starting that journey.
It's a transition, not a switch flip.
Exactly. And they found this really interesting hop pattern in the data.
Hop.
Yeah, there's this dip in the percentage of organizations using GitOps for like 30 to 50% of their systems.
Huh. So people get to that middle ground and then
Yeah.
what? They either stall or jump past it.
That seems to be the idea. Maybe they hit scaling challenges after a successful pilot and get stuck for a bit. Or perhaps once they solve those initial problems, they find it easier to accelerate and quickly push past 50% towards much broader adoption.
Like breaking through a barrier. Once you figure it out for one area, replicating it gets faster. That makes sense.
And the report also breaks down where GitOps is being used most.
Okay, what are the top uses? I'm guessing app deployments.
Spot on. Application and service deployments are number one at 79%. App configurations are right behind at 74%. Then infrastructure at 57%.
And on the flip side, what are people hesitant about?
Secrets management is way down, only 23%. And managing repository access rules is even lower, just 18%.
Secrets make sense. People probably prefer dedicated vaults.
Exactly. The report notes that the dedicated tools or specific features in CD pipelines are still much preferred over putting secrets directly in Git. even with methods like sealed secrets. Centralizing sensitive stuff seems key.
Right. And what about that common misconception that GitOps is only for Kubernetes?
Yeah, the report busts that myth. About 26%, so over a quarter, are using GitOps with other tech stacks. So K8s is huge, but not the only game in town.
Good to know. And there was a key finding here about more is more.
Yes. The data showed a clear correlation. Applying more GitOps practices across more use cases and over more of your production systems leads to better results. Depth and breadth matter.
Okay, let's touch on tools quickly. The report named names, right?
It did. For the open source GitOps agents, Argo CD is way out in front, 50% use it. Flux is next at 11%.
Big gap there. And for infrastructure automation, Terraform, I assume?
Terraform dominates, yeah, 67%.
Yeah.
But what's also interesting is that 37% still report using manual management for infrastructure.
37% manual? Wow. That seems like it would slow down a full GitOps rollout.
It definitely could. Crossplane and Pulumi were mentioned too, but much smaller percentages, like 8% and 7%.
That manual piece makes me think about maturity. How deeply are people really adopting the model? The report went there too, didn't it?
Oh yeah. It went beyond just, are you using GitOps? It tried to measure how closely organizations actually stick to the core techniques, those principles we talked about.
And I bet this is where the picture gets fuzzier than just saying 93% plan to use it more.
You got it. So almost everyone uses version control, 93%. And human-readable formats, like YAML, 92%. Those are almost table stakes.
Right. You kind of need those to even start.
But then the drop-off is steep. Only 40% are truly using declarative configuration in the GitOps sense. And even fewer, just 38%, are using that automatic pull mechanism with an agent.
Hold on, only 40% declarative, but Terraform is declarative, and it's used by 67%. How does that square?
Ah, that's a super important point the report highlights. Many teams use declarative tools like Terraform, but they run them imperatively inside a pipeline. Meaning they're still triggering a Terraform apply command in a specific pipeline step, rather than letting a GitOps agent continuously observe the desired state in Git and reconcile the live environment automatically.
Okay, so they get the benefit of code and versioning, but they miss out on the continuous reconciliation loop.
Precisely. They're using the syntax, but not the full operational model.
Why do you think that is? Is it just trust? Complexity? Old habit?
The report suggests all of those. Infrastructure is complex. Giving an agent full automatic control can feel risky. Maybe teams haven't built that trust yet, or they're just stuck in the old mindset of pipeline stages instead of desired state.
It's a different way of thinking.
It is. And the report has this visual called the GitOps adoption funnel that shows this clearly.
Okay, the funnel. Lay it on me.
You start at the top. 93% use version control. Good start. Then 88% use human-readable formats. Still pretty high.
But then?
Then the drop. Only 35% are really operating declaratively, letting the system converge. And finally, only 16% are using that automatic pull method with agents doing the work.
16%. Wow. So by a strict definition of the operational model, only about 1 in 6 are doing full GitOps.
According to this data, yeah. It's a stark finding. And the report basically says, look, if you're skipping these core practices, you're probably not going to see the benefits you were hoping for.
That makes sense. Which leads perfectly into another practical thing they looked at. What happens when someone makes a manual change? You know, ClickOps, bypassing Git.
Right. How do teams handle that deviation from the desired state? The most common approach, reported by 35%, is automatic rollback. The GitOps agent sees the manual change and just overwrites it, putting things back to how Git says they should be.
Ouch, that could be disruptive.
It could. Another 18% said they just flagged the change for someone to look at manually.
Why would someone make that manual change anyway? Usually during a fire, right? An urgent fix.
Often, yeah. Maybe the official GitOps process feels too slow waiting for reviews, pipeline runs. If something's burning, people might reach for the console.
But the report seemed to favor the automatic rollback. Even though it sounds harsh.
It did lean that way. The thinking is, while it might cause some initial pain, automatically reverting those out-of-band changes forces better habits over time. It really pushes everyone to make all changes, even urgent ones, through the proper Git workflow eventually.
Like how database teams learn you have to use migration scripts, not just run alter table directly on prod.
Exactly that analogy. Flagging the change is okay, but it leaves the system in an unknown, unmanaged state. And doesn't really fix the underlying process issue. Automatic rollback forces the issue.
And this connects back to culture, right? That DevOps first idea you mentioned.
Yeah, the report draws a strong line between a healthy DevOps culture, shared goals, good collaboration, and GitOps actually performing well.
How so?
Well, if your infra team doesn't trust the process, they might just block the installation of those reconciliation agents, or undermining the whole automation. And if your code reviews are painfully slow, which can be a cultural or process bottleneck,
then people are more likely to bypass Git when they need to move fast.
Exactly. It creates the incentive for ClickOps. So culture enables the process, which enables the tools to work effectively. It's all connected.
Which really sets the stage for the report's core finding, the 6 practices they identified as crucial for success.
That's the heart of it. They tested these 6 practices against solid outcomes: software delivery performance via DORA metrics, system reliability, even team well-being.
Okay, let's list them out. Practice number 1.
Declarative desired state. Describe the what, not the how.
Makes sense. Pushes complexity to the tools. 2.
Human readable format. Easy to review, understand changes. Think YAML.
3.
Responsive code review. This one's huge. Keep the changes flowing, enable small batches, less risk, makes Git the real interface.
4 has to be version control itself.
Absolutely. The foundation. Single source of truth, history, audit, rollbacks.
5.
Automatic pull. The agent pulls the config. More secure, simpler architecture.
And the last one, number 6.
Continuous reconciliation. That feedback loop. Keeps the system aligned with Git, discourages manual changes, corrects drift.
Okay, those 6. And the report measured how well orgs adopted these.
Yep. They created GitOps scores, basically measuring alignment with those 6 practices, normalized from 23 to 100. And the main finding, crystal clear.
Let me guess. Higher score equals more benefits.
Significantly more. Organizations scoring in the top bracket, 75 to 100, were way more likely to report achieving the benefits compared to those scoring low, 0 to 25, like 2.7 times more likely to see increased security.
So it's not binary, doing GitOps or not. It's how well you implement these key practices that counts.
That's the core message.
Let's run through some specific benefits. Auditability, overall versus high performers.
Overall, 81% saw better auditability. High performers, 93%. Version control and human readable are baseline. But responsive review and reconciliation catch everything.
Drift prevention seems like a core promise.
78% overall, 90% for the high scores. You absolutely need automatic pull and continuous reconciliation working well for this one.
Compliance.
68% overall, jumps to 81% for high performers. Git history helps prove controls. Small batches from quick reviews are easier to audit. Policy as code fits in here too.
What about reducing direct access to production systems? Less need for SSH keys and console login?
66% overall reported this, 77% for high performers. If changes go through Git and are applied automatically, fewer people need those direct credentials.
Makes sense.
Though the report did note a tiny dip right at the very top scores, maybe suggesting that while direct infra access goes down, the Git repo itself becomes the supercritical control plane needing intense focus.
Ah, the keys to the kingdom, move to the repo. Increased security overall.
63% overall, 66% for high performers. Not a huge jump there, but still positive. Audit trails from Git and review, plus removing that push mechanism, contribute.
Okay, and recreatable applications, being able to rebuild from Git. Crucial for DR. Migration.
This one's interesting. Only 52% overall saw this benefit, but it leaked to 70% for high performers.
A jump.
But here's the really fascinating bit. The report showed that confidence in recreatability often dips when you first start adopting GitOps before shooting up for those who get it right.
A dip? Why on earth would confidence go down initially?
My take, and the report hints at it, is that as you start bringing things properly under GitOps control, you suddenly discover all the hidden dependencies, the manual tweaks, the parts of the system you thought were defined but weren't.
Oh, so the process forces you to confront the messy reality you didn't know you had?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's that painful moment of realizing, wow, recreating this is harder than I thought. But if you push through and define everything properly in Git, then your confidence skyrockets because you know it's truly reproducible.
Finding the dragons. Okay, that makes a weird kind of sense. And they also linked these GitOps scores to the DORA metrics.
They did. Software delivery, performance, deployment frequency, lead time, change fail rate, time to restore.
And the connection?
Strong positive correlation. Higher GitOps scores meant better DORA metrics. Faster, more stable delivery.
But there was a catch, right? About needing a critical mass.
Yes, crucial point. Organization scoring in that lower middle range, 25 to 50, didn't perform statistically better on delivery than those scoring 0 to 25.
So just adopting 1 or 2 practices isn't enough to move the needle significantly.
Doesn't look like it. You need to get past a certain threshold, implement enough of these practices together, before you see those big delivery performance gains.
That really sounds like the J-curve effect.
It does, and the report mentions it. Performance might dip initially as you learn and adapt to these new, complex workflows.
Yeah.
But if you persevere, implement the core practices well, you come out the other side performing much better than before.
You got to push through the dip. What about reliability and well-being?
Reliability showed a positive link, but maybe not as steep as delivery performance. GitOps helps, but core reliability depends heavily on architecture, underlying info stability, observability, etc. GitOps adds value on top.
And well-being, team happiness, burnout.
A small but statistically significant positive relationship. Teams doing GitOps well reported, feeling better about their work, less burned out, maybe due to more predictable deployments, less firefighting.
So, nailing these six practices isn't just about ticking the GitOps boxes. It drives faster, safer delivery, and makes life better for the engineers.
That's the strong signal from the data, yeah.
Yeah.
Provided you get enough of the practices working together and push through that initial learning curve.
Okay, but it's not all smooth sailing. The report called out some common trip hazards, things to watch out for.
Yeah, definitely some pitfalls. A big scary one is accidental resource deletion.
Uh-oh.
With automation, one wrong line in a commit, if not caught, could theoretically trigger the deletion of important stuff in production.
Yikes. How do you prevent that?
The report suggests using platform features like resource protection locks, always doing dry runs to preview changes, and having robust approval workflows for any changes targeting production via GitOps.
Multiple safety nets.
Another obvious one, leaking secrets.
Absolutely critical. Rule number one, no secrets in Git manifests. Use a dedicated secrets manager. Integrate it properly. And use pre-commit hooks or CI scans to actively block secrets from ever getting committed. Good hygiene. What about the GitOps system itself causing problems?
Yeah, overloading version control. If you have hundreds or thousands of agents pulling your Git repo constantly, especially if it's high-frequency pulling.
You could DOS your own Git server or hit API limits.
Exactly. Mitigations include using webhooks to trigger actions instead of pulling where possible. Tuning down polling frequency, maybe implementing exponential backoff if polls fail. Be mindful of the load.
They also mentioned deployment pipeline gaps, forgetting old wisdom.
Right. Don't throw out good practices just because you're adopting GitOps. Things like proper environment progression, dev staging prod, solid automated testing, maybe phased rollouts or change windows if needed, immutable infrastructure, thinking those are all still vital. Integrate them with GitOps.
Don't let the new shiny tool make you forget the fundamentals. And the last hazard, process gaps.
This is about recognizing that when you adopt GitOps fully, your Git repository becomes the control plane for production. That's a huge responsibility shift.
So the repo needs serious security and governance.
Absolutely. Mm. Robust, role-based access control, RBAC, on the repos, strong branch protection rules, automated drift detection, and alerting even if you auto-reconcile, you need to know it happened, and, critically, regular disaster recovery drills that specifically test what happens if your Git repo is lost or compromised.
Treat the repo like the critical infrastructure it has become.
You have to.
Okay, let's trick and wrap this up. Bringing it all together, what are the main headlines from this first State of GitOps report?
I think it boils down to a few key things. One, interest and adoption are definitely growing fast. People are trying GitOps. But two, that adoption is often partial.
Yeah.
Many are only implementing a few pieces, especially missing the full declarative operation and automatic reconciliation.
And three, that partial adoption really limits the benefits you actually get.
Exactly. Which leads to point four. Mm. The report clearly identifies those six core practices: declarative, human-readable, responsive review, version control, auto-pull, continuous reconciliation as the key. Adopting these is what unlocks the big benefits in delivery, reliability, and even well-being.
And those six practices work together, right? You need that critical mass.
Right. They're mutually supportive. Just doing one or two doesn't seem to move the needle much. You need most or all of them firing together. And five, expect that J-curve. Performance might dip before it climbs higher.
So it's not a magic bullet you just switch on. It's a journey focusing on these specific practices.
Yeah, probably best approached as continuous improvement, adding and refining these practices over time, rather than a giant big bang attempt. And knowing that initial dip might happen helps you persevere.
So for you, the listener, this report really provides a solid data-backed benchmark. It shows what good looks like based on real-world results.
You can use these findings, especially those six practices and their link to outcomes, to look at your own situation. Why are you seeing the results you are? Or maybe not seeing the results you expected?
It gives you a map for where to focus your improvement efforts. Much better than just guessing or following hype.
For sure. Gets through the noise.
Okay, so here's a final thought to leave you with. Considering everything we've discussed, that most orgs are only partially adopting, that the real gains come from those six core practices working together, that J-curve phenomenon, how does this challenge your own view or maybe your team's current approach to GitOps? If you had to pick just one of those six practices to focus on improving next, based on the outcomes you really want, which one would it be and why?
Something to mull over. Keep exploring, keep learning, and use these insights to refine your own GitOps journey.